Everybody being here tonight. Out of the entire week, this is probably the easiest lesson and the hardest lesson to teach. It's like baptism. Baptism is a simple lesson to teach. People just don't like it. The Bible says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." You try to teach that to people and they got every reason in the world why they don't like that. What about this and what about that? And they got every hypothetical variation of why you shouldn't have to get baptized to get saved. You get back to the Bible and the Bible says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." I once heard about a debate. The debater didn't show up for the church and the opposition got up and he preached for 15, 20 minutes. He said, "Will anybody defend the truth?" There was an elder sitting in the crowd. He said, "Well, I've never debated, but I can defend the truth." And he got up and he opened his Bible and he read Mark 16:16. "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." And he shut his Bible and he sat down. The debater got up and he went on for another 45 minutes trying to prove that the baptism was essential for salvation and it was this elder's turn again. He got up and he opened his Bible and he read Mark 16:16. "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who believes not shall be condemned." Closed his Bible and sat back down. This guy got back up and went on for another 45 minutes and The elder got up and he said, "You know, this is the third time I've been up here and the Bible hadn't changed." And it is with marriage and divorce. God's got one law. And yet men have muddled it and muddled it and muddled it. And even men who taught me now got it wrong. Have now changed. Men who taught me to stand firm on the marriage question, who I relied on. Brother Tom Roberts taught me marriage and divorce when I was in Hawaii. Now he's teaching error on it. Brother Ron Halbrook taught me marriage and divorce 20 years ago. Now teaches error on it. He says all we got to do is say some magic phrase, "One man, one woman for life," and then we can all agree to disagree. I remember an article in Truth Magazine where Brother Connie Adams, who I believe would stand firm on marriage and divorce, was in opposition to Weldon Warnock, who I believe he's gone now, taught error. He taught mental divorce. Was off. And in this article, they both wrote their perspective. And at the end, they said, "We're not going to sever fellowship because we got grandkids together." These same men attacked Ed Harold and Dee Bowman because they wouldn't withdraw fellowship from Homer Haley and his false petition on marriage and divorce. But they wouldn't withdraw fellowship from each other because they got grandkids together. See, these same men who stood firm at one time compromised at a later time. These same men that I looked up to as a young man. Same thing with Tom Roberts and Ron Halbrook. And I asked Brother Ron Halbrook. He called me because I was going to debate Steve Wallace up in Washington on mental divorce, who's off on this subject. He said, "Oh, Randy, don't be fussing with the brother. As long as we agree on one man, one woman for life, one exception, we're brethren." And I said, "Well, Brother Ron, let me ask you a question. You get Truth Magazine. Who's right on this subject, Brother Connie Adams or Brother Weldon Warnock? Because they're teaching two different views." And you know what Brother Ron Halbert told me? He said, "I believe both men are teaching truth." I said, "Well, brother, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to rent a hotel room between Shepherdsville, Kentucky, and St. Robert, Missouri. And I'm going to buy you a steak dinner. And I'm bringing my Bible, and I want you to show me how two opposing doctrines are both true. Folks, that was 5 years ago, and I'm still waiting for that call. He said, I'm getting ready to go to the Philippines, Randy, and as soon as I get back, we're going to get together. And I've been chasing him ever since. He taught me marriage and divorce. And he taught me to stand for the truth. And then I got a call about 3 years ago, and somebody told me that Tom Roberts was now teaching error on marriage and divorce. I said, you're a liar. Tom Roberts taught Randy Duvall marriage and divorce. Tom Roberts ain't off on marriage and divorce. You're wrong. They said, no, he's making a distinction between this word and this word. This word and this word. I said, no, that's not true. Well, I'm not the type of person that takes gossip. So I called Tom with a chuckle in my voice. And I said, hey, Tom, guess what I heard? He said, what's that? We had him scheduled for a meeting. I said, somebody told me you're off on this mental divorce position. He got real quiet. So what do you mean by that? We're going to talk about that scenario tonight. I said, well, the scenario is this. I put my wife away, not for cause. And 5 years down the road, now she's put away. 5 years down the road, I get remarried. At that time, because she's been faithful to her vows, she can then put me away and she can remarry. Now, isn't that ridiculous that they're saying you believe that? He said, Randy, I do believe that. I started crying. I said, no, you don't, brother. Don't tell me that. My heart was broken. This is the man who I called every night for 6 weeks when I was battling this stuff in Hawaii. When Jim Putterball and Jerry Bassett and the rest of the false teachers were trying to bring it to the Philippines and to Hawaii, and Wallace Little and the rest of the false teachers from Florida were trying to bring it there. Tom, I talked to this man. He taught me every facet of marriage and divorce. He taught me to tear down every straw man that was ever built in this issue. I said, Tom, we can't have you for a meeting. He said, Randy, I'm not even teaching on marriage and divorce in your meeting. I said, but you're a false teacher. He said, well, I wish you'd consider that. As long as we agree on one man, one woman, one exception, for life, one exception, we're brethren. See, that don't make no sense. That's the catch-all. Homer Haley would agree to that. Homer Haley believed that you could be married 100 times before you're baptized, and as soon as you're baptized, that's when the record started. That record keeping started. But he would have agreed to one man, one woman, for life, one exception. If that's the litmus test. So what I'm here to tell you tonight, folks, I'm not here to grind any axe. I love Tom. I love Ron. Those men taught me. But they also taught me to stand with the truth and not with men. And so when I was coming here, I called the elders. Because I knew at that time you guys were supporting Tom. I said, if I come to teach on marriage and divorce, I gotta name him. So 2 days, I was actually in a meeting in Waukesha, Texas. I got an email. I hadn't talked to Tom in 3 years. He said, Randy, call me. This is Tom Roberts. I'm afraid of no man.
Like I told you the other day, a little bit of my wife, but no man. I've been in combat. I've looked in the enemy's eyes. The only person I'm afraid of is our great king and judge. I called and I said, Tom, this Randy Wall, what can I do for you?
So I just got a letter from the elders in Bellflower. They said they're no longer going to be supporting me because I'm a false teacher. They listened to a tape and they've ascertained that I'm a false teacher. They said that it came from you. What do you think I teach false? And I said, how much time you got, brother? And I said, and we went around and around for about 45 minutes. My brother was a witness to the conversation. There's several things. We're going to talk about a few of them tonight. But when it boiled down to it, what I want to talk about first, I wanted to kind of give you some background. Because I want you to understand, I don't have any axe to grind against men. I love these men. These men were like fathers to me. You talked about how I bragged on Max last night. You remember that? I love that man right there. And that's how much I love Tom and Ron and the rest that got me through those struggles in Hawaii. So it wasn't fun to stand opposed to them. But they're the ones that taught me, just like Max would tell me, if I go off, you stand with the truth. And so we're going to get to some of that error towards the end, but we got to get to truth first. And truth is simple. Truth is very simple. So what I want you to do right now is get rid of emotion. Get rid of all your, well, what about and this and that and that. Get your Bibles out. And open them up, put them in your laps. Because we're just going to look at Scripture. Marriage and divorce and remarriage is simple when you just look at Scripture. When you start adding the hypotheticals and the I thinks and the straw men, and we're going to burn some straw men to the ground tonight. I got some right here. Here they are. We're going to build them up and we're going to burn them down. But right now, we're just going to look at marriage. God instituted marriage way back in the beginning. Remember, Jesus took the Jews of the first century back to the beginning. It said, "And a rib the Lord had taken from man and a woman and brought her to man. And then man said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. He shall be called woman, or she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Very first marriage ever instituted by God was overseen and presided over by God. Now, it wasn't presided over by man because there's only two people on earth. But it was instituted and established by God. And from that day to this day, marriage is still being conducted. And when you start hearing false teachers, they're going to start saying, well, there's no procedure. That's their new phrase. No procedure. No procedure. No procedure. No procedure. I'm going to give you so much procedure tonight, it's going to sicken you. Because the Bible's full of procedure. See, what you have to ask yourself when people deviate from the Word, what is the agenda? Why do men who used to stand with the Word now deviate from the Word? I don't know why. I know some, for example, Dudley Ross Spears went off on the marriage question. And I know why Dudley, because Dudley openly admitted it. His daughter got into an unscriptural marriage. And Dudley said, I changed. So I know why Dudley changed, because he said he changed. Why other people change, I don't know. I heard Homer Haley's had a daughter that got into an unscriptural marriage, and that's why. I didn't know Homer personally. Maybe some of the older brother do, but that's what I've heard. But it's usually something that has affected them, whether, and it's usually something that's in their personal lives or in their immediate families when they change doctrine. I know that's what affected Raccoon John Smith, who was one of our old pioneer preachers. He was a Presbyterian, or actually he was a Methodist, and they taught predestination, and they taught eternal election. God chose you to be in heaven or hell. Well, he had some kids burned up in a fire. And he just could not come to the grips with the fact that he had some babies because they weren't old enough to be elected yet to die. He started studying Scripture and figured out that, hey, that's a bunch of hogwash. You got to choose to be saved. And that's how he taught himself the gospel and became a gospel preacher. But something happened. I don't know if something's happened with Tom. I don't know if something's happened with Ron. But something's happened because those men used to teach truth and now they don't. But marriage has been going on. See, not all educated people are intelligent. The Word of God is what determines intelligent. I'm not a studied man. I don't have a bunch of degrees. But you know what I have? I got a Bible. I know a lot of people. These television evangelists, have you ever seen their little credentials? They got PhD and doctor and this and this and this. We got to study to show ourselves approved, folks. And when you open up the Bible, and you open it up to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5, what does it say? That your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It don't matter what your heroes do. That's one of the things I teach these men in the training program. If someday Randy DeBall goes off, I expect every man I've ever taught to stand opposed to me. I don't teach them to be Randy DeBall clones. That's why I send them to different men I trust. So they're well-rounded. Their loyalty is the Almighty Yahweh and not to Randy DeBall. God is our king, not man. And so it's an easy choice when somebody I respect goes off. I can't follow you down there. When we comes to marriage and divorce, sometimes people say, well, an unscriptural... See, I don't like the word scriptural and unscriptural. Yeah, if you want to use those, that's fine. When I talk about marriages, there are lawful marriages and there are unlawful marriages. I just like Bible words. God recognizes both. He doesn't approve of both, but He recognizes both. Now, understand that. God recognizes both. He doesn't approve of both. Now, some brothers say, if it's not a lawful marriage, it's not a marriage. God doesn't recognize unscriptural marriages, is what some teach. Well, He does recognize them. He doesn't approve of them, but He does recognize them, and we're going to see passage about that. So, remember, lawful means according to Scripture. Everyone that does sin does also lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. So, unlawful, of course, is the opposite of lawful. Remember John the Baptist, or John? John lost his head. John became headless because he told Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. See, Herod and Herodias were in an unlawful marriage. She was married to one man, bound to another. See, that's another thing brethren don't understand. There's the marriage bond. There's the bond, and then there's the marriage. The marriage is man's part. The bond is God's part. And you can have both to have a lawful marriage. You can have, and we're going to talk about that. You can't have just a bond and no marriage. And you can't have a marriage and no bond. You have to have a bond and a marriage for it to be lawful. And the same thing with a divorce. You have to have an unbond and a divorce for it to be lawful divorce. Now, you can look high and low, and you can see these folks. I think Harry Osborne jumped on the bandwagon now, because I heard he wants to debate me. I challenged Tom to a debate on this. Tom said he wouldn't debate me in an open forum. He'd do a written debate. My typing skills are not up to snuff. I typed like a monkey. So I can't do a written debate. I told him, Tom, you used to beat up D. Bowman and them because they wouldn't publicly debate you. Come publicly debate me up in St. Robert. He said, well, Randy, I don't have no money. I said, well, I'll pay your way up there. You can stay with me and Deanne. Bring your crew up. He said, I don't have no crew. Well, then I found out, he said, well, I won't debate you, but Harry will. Then I got a 5-page document. Basically, Harry teaches the same thing. That this word and this word are not the same thing. This word and this word are not the same thing. But I would challenge you with an open heart. You've got to be dishonest to believe that. I'm not a smart man, but I can read. I've looked at every Greek lexicon that I can find. I've called every Greek scholar that I know in the United States. I've not baited them. I've not preempted them. I've just asked them, is put away and divorce different? You know what they told me? Same thing. Same thing. Look at theirs. Look at, I can't even pronounce half their names because they're... But look at every Greek lexicon you can find. It'll say divorce. You know what they say? Tom Harper said divorce shouldn't be in the Bible. Divorce is a misprint. He told me on the phone, put away is God's word. Divorce is man's word. I said, put away is not God's word either, Tom. Put away is the English word. He said, no, no, Randy, that's a Bible word. I said, that's not a Bible word. Apolluo is the Bible word. The Bible's written in Greek. Look up the word apolluo. I think I'm pronouncing that right. You know what it says under the word apolluo in the Greek concordance or the Greek lexicon? Divorce. Put away. Send out. You've got to be dishonest to try and separate those two. You have an unlawful and you have a lawful marriage. And you have a lawful and you have an unlawful divorce. So we're going to get to that. And again, so simple. And your head's already spinning. We haven't even got 15 minutes into this. It's craziness. Marriage has been going on since the beginning of time. Luke chapter 17, verse 21. They ate, they drank, they married, they were given in marriage until the day of Noah. There's your procedure. There's no procedure taught in the Bible, they say. I don't know what it was, but it was something. There was a procedure happening before Deuteronomy 24. Back in the days of Noah, they were given in marriage. How did they do it? I don't know. But there was some type of procedure. They were being married and given in marriage. I know what our procedure is. You go down to the courthouse, you get a marriage license.
You find a preacher. You take your vows. Unless you're Steve Wallace, the other Steve, there's two Steve Wallaces. There's one false teacher on mental divorce up in Washington. There's another false teacher on, I don't even know what you would call his position. He's told me, outside of a church building in East Dalton, Illinois, these are all men that used to be my friends. He told me, outside of a church building, East Dalton, after a gospel meeting, that two young people could go out into the woods and take a vow before God, and he would accept them in his congregation as faithful members. They don't need to go get a marriage license. I know you guys don't believe that. I don't think anyway. I asked Tom Roberts if he agreed with Steve on that. He said, oh no, that's crazy. You got to get a marriage license. Well, you got to get a marriage license to get married, but you don't got to get a divorce decree to get divorced. You got to go to civil court to get married, but you don't have to go to civil court to get divorced. That's backwards. See the inconsistency in that thought? It makes your head swim. And that's why brethren just get to the point where they're like, let's just agree that one man, one woman, four lives, one exception. That's why people succumb to that. Because this is like trying to hold a can of worms. And that's why I've spent years and years and years unraveling every one of these things. But listen, before Deuteronomy 24, there was procedure. Write that down, because they're going to say, ain't no procedure in the Bible. There it is right there. We don't know what it is, but it was something. God's original plan for man, here it is, one man, one woman, four lives. So they were no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. So God binds, man marries. The marriage bond is done by God. The marrying is done by man. That's the way it's always been. That's the way it always will be. To be a lawful marriage, two people can't just go in the woods and take vows and God binds them together. You got to meet both. The marriage law is binding till death. We agree with that, right? Thus, a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the marriage law. That's till you part. We say that. You know, I've done a lot of weddings. I've never had a young couple misunderstand this passage. Ever. You understand you're married till death? Absolutely. It's only 1 year, 10 years, 30 years down the road that all of a sudden their brain kicks out of gear. Oh, well, I hate him. I know I said that, but they forget all about that. When they're in love, though, they remember it till death. But that's the law. So who can lawfully marry? We're going to talk about, this is God's law. This is the simple. Who can marry? Those who have never been married can marry. To the unmarried and the widows, I say, that it is good for them to remain single as I. This is 1 Corinthians 7. But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to be aflame with passion. So if you've never been married, you have a lawful right to marry. That's simple, isn't it? Who can marry? Anybody who's never been married. We're studying marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Who can marry? Whoever's never been married. Who can lawfully divorce? Remember, lawful and unlawful. Who can lawfully divorce? Only the innocent party whose mate has committed adultery. It says, but I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife except on the grounds of sexual immorality makes her commit adultery. So if your mate commits adultery, you can put them away
and you can remarry. You're the innocent. Only the innocent can lawfully remarry. Let me say that again. Only the innocent person can lawfully remarry. You can put away your guilty mate and you can remarry. If you are innocent and you've been put away, you cannot lawfully marry. That's what it says right there. That's what we talked about tonight. We're going to talk about eraser. I draw a quick stick figure. Vaughn, there's God, there's a woman, and a man. God does the binding, man does the marrying. Let's make the guy guilty. We always make the poor woman guilty. Woman's innocent, guy's guilty. God says the woman can put away the man. She can go get another man. God releases her from this. He then makes another triangle. The guilty can never remarry. Why? Because God never releases him from his bond. He made it. Remember, we're making a covenant with God. The innocent can remarry. The guilty can't. Now, this quick math. Here's a man. Here's a woman. At the marriage, he's guilty, she's innocent. He puts her away, he goes over here, he gets married. No triangle. He doesn't have a right. She doesn't have a right. The marriage bond is intact. God doesn't release either. She's innocent, but she's still bound. This is 1 Corinthians 7, verses 10 and 11. Reconcile. Because what does it say? If somebody marries her, that's what we're reading right here, then they commit adultery. Why? Because she's still bound to him. It's simple when you just follow Scripture and you get emotion out of it. Innocent can remarry. Guilty can't. If the innocent is put away, then we have this. But to the married I give instruction, not to the Lord, but the wife should not leave her husband. If she does leave, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. Now, some people say, well, in fact, this is what... Do you believe the couple who's married here? This is a quote from Tom. They were in sin? Doesn't say. We don't know. Now, he later on repented of this. This is Mike Willis's position. Mike Willis teaches this. He said this gives you permission to basically divorce for any reason, but you can only remarry if you commit fornication. Now, that doesn't say anything about any reason, right? All we know about this passage, see, that's why you don't add to or take away from text. All we know from this passage is, and all we can infer from this passage, we don't know who's guilty, we don't know if somebody's in sin or not in sin. We don't know if this is before they're a Christian. We don't know if this is after they're a Christian. We don't know if Paul found them in this state or if this happened while Paul was there. We don't know all that. That's all hypothetical garbage. That's a straw man. Don't deal with straw men. Deal with the text. What we do know and what we can infer from this text is that this divorce was unlawful. Because if it was lawful, she could remarry. Could she not? If it was a lawful
divorced, she could remarry. Apparently, it wasn't lawful. So either she divorced her husband not for cause, or whatever, but she didn't put him away because he was guilty, so it's an unlawful divorce. So she has one of two choices, reconcile or remain unmarried. Don't read into the text what's not there. Don't speculate about the text what's not there. The only thing we can infer, and rightly so, is that this is she is in an unlawful divorce. Now, we don't know whether she repented for that. We don't know whether what. And so, speculation about that is just building a straw man that's not there. But this is not permission above and beyond what Jesus taught in Matthew 19:9.
Scripture does not contradict Scripture. This is not a second reason to put away. This harmonizes with Matthew 9 and not an addition to Matthew 9. Or 19, I should say, not 9. So be careful about what people teach you. Alright, real quick. And again, I'd be glad if you guys want to sit down and study this more detailed throughout the week. I'm here till Friday. Who can lawfully remarry? We talked about who can divorce. Only the innocent can lawfully divorce. Anybody can divorce, but lawfully only the innocent. Who can remarry? Widows, according to Romans chapter 7, but if her husband dies, she is free from the law. If she marries another, she's not an adulteress. The other people who can marry is the innocent party who puts away their guilty mate. For, let me say it one more time, for sexual immorality. The guilty party cannot remarry. Why? Because they're still bound to their marriage. Just like you can't quit being a Christian. See, there's two times you make a covenant with God. One is when you're baptized, and the other is when you're married. Those are eternal covenants. You can quit being faithful to God, but you don't quit being a Christian. We call it restoration when a Christian comes back. We don't rebaptize them, right? Because they're always a Christian. They're an unfaithful Christian, but they're always a Christian. Just like your marriage bond is forever. The only time God releases you from your marriage bond is if you're innocent in an adulterous relationship and you choose. God never wants you to divorce if you can help it. God hates divorce, remember? Hates putting away. Actually, if you get a ESV, it doesn't even say that. But he hates the dissolving of a marriage. But if you're innocent, you have the right. And he will release you from that bond. And he will let you be bound to somebody else. But if you're guilty, you're bound forever. According to the Scriptures. Procedure. We talked about procedure. We saw a procedure before the Mosaic Law. We saw a procedure during the Mosaic Law. Tom said this is an individual right. Hogwash! This was in the Law of Moses. You lived under the Law of Moses and you wanted a divorce? It wasn't individual. You had to read the law. How do I divorce my right? Remember, the Law of Moses was both civil and spiritual. They were a spiritual people, but they all had a civil law. They had law on how to take out the trash, how to take care of their people, where to pitch their tents, and how to divorce. This was civil law under Moses. And it's listed, if you read it, under the Law of Moses. That's civil law. He says, oh, it's individual law. No, it wasn't written to any individual. It's written to the children of Israel. Yeah, it's done individually. just like any other individual law. Just like the individual law of some other purification thing. But it was in the law of Moses. It's civil law, just like before. Civil procedure. What about for us? We have civil procedure. Whosoever shall put away his wife except for fornication? So we have a reason. And then what do we appeal to? We appeal to the government that we live under. The reason God doesn't specify procedure under our in the Bible is because, and what do we teach? What do we teach? Why do we beat up Palmer Haley? Because we teach that marriage is a universal law. It doesn't apply just to Christians. He tried to say, well, it doesn't apply to either you're Christian. It's a universal law. So it applies to the world. Different governments have different laws for marriage. They have different procedures for marriage. So you have to appeal to Romans 13 to find procedure. So there's your procedure. There's your other straw, man. We're going to burn down one more and then I'll be done. Because here's the big heartstring pluck. Big one thing on his tape, he says, well, what about in China? I don't know why he does this, because this had nothing to do with marriage and divorce. What about in China where they can only have two children? And if you have another child, they force you to get an abortion. You ever remember another time like that in the history of our people? In the history of the world? Remember a little maybe that was put in a basket and shoved in some bulrushes? Because the law was when you have a baby, a male child, you throw him in the Nile River? And his mom said, I ain't going to abide by that law. And he ended up being raised up. That's not new. Act like that's all of a sudden now that's a new law. There's nothing new under the sun according to Solomon. You have to abide by laws that kill people and violate things. But real quickly, I want to address this one law, because they always throw this law up. In the Philippines, we have one sister here from the Philippines. She knows what I'm talking about. In the Philippines, you're not allowed to divorce for any reason. They were a Catholic state under Catholic rule for 600 years. So they have Catholic laws. You cannot divorce, period. So that's their straw man. What about in the Philippines where those poor people are, they can't divorce? They got a stricter law than God's law. Acts chapter 5 verse 29 says we've got to obey God rather than man. God gives us one exception. Now you got people living under rule. They don't have an exception, Randy. What are you going to do without that? That's your straw man. See him? Okay, got me. What am I going to do? There's my straw man. That's deflection. See, Tom asked me that question the other day. Jim Potterball asked me that question 20 years ago. You know who taught me how to defeat that question? A preacher by the name of Tom Roberts. And now he's using the same argument. Isn't that sad? He must have forgot. He taught me how to burn that straw man down 20 years ago. Here's your answer. Nobody's forcing anybody to get married in the Philippines. You can ask our good sister from the Philippines. Nobody's dragging people down to the center of Manila and making them get married. But when they get married in the Philippines, they understand it's for life. And there's no way out. They understand that it's a higher standard than God has. You know, this morning I got to get up when I wanted to. Since I retired from the Army, I go to bed pretty much when I want to, and I get up when I want to. It's a freedom. God gives us that freedom. We're free people. Did you know for 20 years and 5 months, I didn't have that freedom. I signed it away. Although God gave me that right, I relinquished that right to the United States Army. They told me when to rise, when to go to bed, when I could be with my family, when I couldn't be with my family. That wasn't fair, was it? If I want to be in the Army, I obey. See, we have a lot of liberties that God gives us that we can give up. Many of them. And in the Philippines, they understand that they're agreeing to a higher standard. They don't want to agree to that. They don't have to get married, just like I didn't have to join our. You know what Tom told me? Well, let me ask you a question, Randy. What if they wouldn't have let you read your Bible when you was in the Army? Oh, he got me. I said, then Tom, I would have never raised my right hand and I would have never signed on the dotted line. Just like those Filipinos do not have to get married. They want a divorce. They can migrate. They can put a visa in. They can come to the United States. They can divorce here. But they understand the law of that country. Just like my Turk in Afghanistan didn't have a choice. Are we free to choose our mates? The Bible says we are. In Afghanistan, you don't have that right. His mom chose his mate. I said, what if your mom chooses some ugly woman? You got to marry her, he said. Luckily, his wife was pretty. He said, but my cousin's wife is very ugly. And he's stuck. He said, well, if you want to be married here, you take the one you want. Mama chooses. Is that fair? But that's their law. That's their law. See, it doesn't contradict. It harmonizes. That's why God made it a universal law. So don't let them build those straw men up. Don't let them pluck. See, they get to plucking those heartstrings. You start saying, oh, yeah. Just stick to the passage. Don't let them add to the passage. Don't let them add emotion to the passage or feelings to the passage. Just read the text. Let's summarize real quick. God's law. Who can marry? Those who've never been married. Who can divorce lawfully? The innocent person who has been a victim of adultery, the innocent person can put away the guilty person and they can remarry. If an innocent person is put away, they cannot later on, some way mentally, by osmosis or transportation or try to redefine divorce and put away and transport, because that's really all that's left. Try to say, well, that was civil, now you can... No. The put away has one of two options. Reconcile or remain unmarried. If they're the innocent, put away. If they're the guilty, put away. They can never remarry. They can be reconciled if their mate forgives them later on. And then who can remarry? Widows and innocent people. Divorce or marriage, divorce, remarry. Simple. You gotta be taught that it's not that simple. Don't let people try to muddy up the water for you. I so respect the elders here for taking a stand for the truth. And I just appreciate their willingness to just continue that. Especially in a world where it just starts to get so diluted. If you just take the scriptures, it's not that hard. Just take the scriptures. When God instituted marriage, His desire was that man was to be married to a woman till death. If we just do that, we can cut out all the rest of the malarkey. We can quit worrying about divorce and remarriage. Let's just stay married till we die and then we're good. We had a good sister here last night. She's not here tonight, bless her heart. But I love her attitude. She said, Randy, I'll be here Thursday and Friday. I don't need to be here tomorrow. Because if my husband ever cheats on me, I'm just going to kill him. So I don't need to worry about divorce. And I know she was teasing, but it's just that simple. Let's just stay married. Are you here tonight and you're not a Christian? God's plan for saving you is simple. Having heard the word, do you believe it? Are you willing to repent of your sins, confess with your mouth, and be baptized for the remission of sins? It's that simple. Just like his law on marriage, you got to be taught something different to not understand that. And if you're here tonight, and maybe you haven't been doing what you're supposed to be doing, think about that. And if you need extra prayers, come forward as we stand.